May the word of God bring us to the God of his word. Amen. Please do sit down. In the summer of 2009, I visited my brother-in-law Tim on the French border with Belgium, not far from Armentières, to hear a little bit about a footnote to the terrible campaigns of the First World War. Tim, who is a forensic photographer, was part of a team of archaeologists spending a season looking for the remains of Australian soldiers who died in the Battle of Fromelles in 1916. Even by the standards of the First World War, this action was seemingly pointless. Originally devised as a diversion to detract the Germans from the launch of the Battle of the Somme, events had overtaken the strategists by the date set for the attack, but the local commander decided to fight anyway. The Australian troops had only just arrived on the Western Front, and this was their first big action. Some witnesses claim that the Australians were sent into action so hurriedly that they were still wearing their felt hats from the bush, as their tin helmets had somehow got lost in the supply train. The battle which follows has been described as the worst day in Australian military history. The troops were asked to storm a ridge from which the German defenders had a clear view of the land for miles. 5,500 casualties were inflicted before the attack was called off. One survivor described the sheer terror of advancing through a field where machine gun bullets seemed to crisscross the network, striking down everyone who tried to cross it. There were 2,000 British casualties. Nobody ever got close enough to inflict any damage on the Germans, which is a pity, because among the defenders was a certain Corporal Adolf Hitler, whose early demise might have been a blessing for the world. Nearly 100 years later, Tim and the team were being paid by the Australian War Graves Commission to find and prepare for burial around 250 men who were buried in a hurry at the end of the battle. The task was a massive one. Each skeleton was carefully discovered, photographed, DNA samples were taken to try and match with the relatives, and every single one of those men has now been laid to rest with full military honours in a new graveyard prepared for them. It's a project which cost a lot of money and occupied a large professional team for over a year. So why was it done? There's nobody left who's been personally affected by the tragedy of the Battle of Fromelles. Nobody still exists with first-hand memory of those young Australians who travelled across the world in order to be mowed down. The project has happened simply because it was felt that they too deserved to be remembered. If there was ever a reminder that each and every human being matters, each of us unique, each of us connected to each other and another part of history, this is it. Those men weren't just a random group of soldiers. They were loved by their relatives, their friends, and of course, by God, they are all remembered. And the Bible mentions remembrance and remembering over 230 times. You've heard these calls to remember. In Exodus, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In Numbers, remember the commands of the Lord that you may obey them. In Deuteronomy, remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt and the Lord your God remembered you. In Ecclesiastes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In John, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. In Acts, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how it's more blessed to give than to receive. And 2 Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Remembrance was important to the people of biblical times because in those days there were no printing presses and few scrolls. There were no books, CDs, records, computers, magazines, flyers, internet, email, photographs, social media, video cameras, newspapers. Few people could read or write. Therefore, a person's, a community's, or a nation's history often had to be committed to memory and passed along from generation to generation by word of mouth. But it was this remembering, recalling, and reciting of their history, especially their spiritual history, that strengthened the spiritual identity and the life of the Israelites and the Christians of the early church. Perhaps we're not as well off as our spiritual ancestors were, was we lack that same facility to remember. How many of you think you have good memories? We've not trained our memories to the same degree as the people in the Bible. So on this Remembrance Sunday, let's explore what it means to remember the stories of those who died in battle for us, but also to remember the story of God's mighty works for us and among us, and the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life that we might live. For Christians, remembrance is closely linked to redemption, something good coming out of shadows and difficulties. Of course, one of the most important moments in history is when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we come to the Lord's table for communion, we're called to remember. God recognizes the importance of remembering. However, it's important to grasp the special meaning which Christians find in the word remembrance. To remember means more than just to gather up memories of the past. It means more than to reflect imaginatively with gratitude on the shared past and the faith in our nation. For a Christian, remembrance makes a strong spiritual connection between the past and the present, a connection that can change lives. When we take communion, we're united with saints throughout the ages and those who are to come. We're the body of Christ, part of something bigger. We remember the past, act in the present, and then we remember the future, the hope that is to come in the name of Jesus, the excitement that those will come after us and receive communion in this church in years to come in the same power of the Holy Spirit. But how does that connect to Remembrance Sunday? I wonder, what do you do with your poppy after Remembrance Day? Do you throw it away? Keep it for next year? Does it languish in a drawer somewhere until you find it in a few months' time? Perhaps you have a very particular place that you put it. At my daughter Maddie's school, the young people file out the chapel, and after the silence, they all lay their poppies down in the quad. It's a beautiful and moving moment, not least because some of the students there are the same age as some of the soldiers who would have died in the wars. It's a sobering thought. But the poppy is our symbol of remembering. I want us to ask a bigger question. What will you, what will I, do with our remembering after Remembrance Sunday? What happens tomorrow and the next day and the week after? Will we just put it away like we do with our poppies until next year when we'll get it out and brush it off again? For most of us, experience of war is not personal for us, but it matters. How we remember and what we do with our remembering matters. What we do next week matters, because that's what right remembering is. We don't put it to one side, then we haven't rightly remembered. Right remembering is more than just setting a day aside each year to remind ourselves of the facts. Remembering rightly is to live in the light of those facts. It's about moving from remembrance to acting out that redemption. In the Old Testament, the people of God, the Israelites, were forever being called to remember. To remember who they were, where they'd come from. And it was usually in times of their life when things were going wrong. But the call to remembering wasn't just about reminding themselves how they got into their current mess. It was a call, more than that, a promise that the future would be different. Somehow we have to remember the story and make it our story. We should endeavour to place ourselves in the shoes of those in the past and those still daily who serve our country in trying to bring peace, and apply their commitment and self-sacrifice to our lives. And the same is true of the biblical story. If we can put ourselves in the shoes of those that we read about, we will live more committed and self-sacrificial lives. If we reflect on the gospel reading today, we see the fishermen who were called by Jesus, "Come, follow me." Generation after generation since have heard the same call, "Come, follow me." We hear that call, "Come, follow me." And generations to come will hear it too. We're privileged to be part of something bigger which spans nations and time and eternity. And we should wonder as we remember God's unending love from generation to generation and into future generations without partiality or prejudice. So when you hear about David and his many mistakes, replace your name with his name. When you read about Jesus calling Peter and James and John to discipleship, hear that call being addressed to you. When you read about Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial, know that in reality, you're reading your own story. When you read about Jesus forgiving the woman caught in adultery, or Jesus befriending Mary Magdalene, or Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead, replace their names with your name, because their stories of forgiveness, healing, and salvation are your stories. Remembering the stories of the war dead and the biblical stories is making these stories your stories. And as we reenact the Last Supper this morning, we reflect on the sacrifice and remember, not just with gratitude, but with an acknowledgement of the call to follow his way. And that means being active in our remembrance. When I remember my son Benedict's birthday in a couple of weeks' time, I must do more than just remember. I must go out and buy him a card and a present and make a cake. Otherwise, I'll be in big trouble. Real remembering is doing, sharing in that work of redemption. Don't go away from here and throw your poppy away. Put it somewhere that will remind you of the capacity for human beings to sacrifice their lives for one another and the grace of God to send his only son to die for you. Remember the great price paid for our freedom and for our salvation. Reflect on how that might change your actions. Where in your life do you act out self-sacrificial love? Let's pray the Holy Spirit to come and move among us as we read and remember the stories of the past, that it will strengthen us spiritually. Let's make them our stories so that in remembrance we can be talking always about redemption, the continuing saving work of Jesus. And may we have courage, humility, and a longing for peace in our world, in our country, and in the hearts of all people. Because like the soldiers at Armentières, everyone is special. Everyone is loved. And if the peace of Christ is not shared with all people, then the work of redemption is not complete. So don't put your poppy away. Take time to reflect and do something with your remembrance. Amen.